I have loved being your pastor. You are an honest-to-God church, and I'm proud to have been a partner with you for the gospel's sake. I love that you are spiritual, emotionally, intellectually, and relationally alert, that you care so deeply for one another, and that you walk the talk of God's love for the world, especially in how engaged you are with people who are homeless, with other people who are impoverished locally, or especially in Nicaragua beyond our town. And I love that this is a place where laughter happens so easily, and tears can also freely flow. Our banner biblical text is Micah 6:8. What does the Lord require of you but to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with your God? And as far as I'm concerned, you're pretty much 3 for 3. It pleases me no end that one young woman who's been part of this faith family since she was born has tattooed Micah 6:8 on her ankle. We're not remotely close to perfect. As pastor, I've had a front row seat on what's off kilter, as well as what is glorious. I also know my own shortcomings as a pastor, and I wish I had done better. But in this place, grace abounds, doesn't it? And acceptance and encouragement abound here, which is how we get better. And I think we're getting better. Among my many mixed feelings today is some aching over the many who are gone from us now. This week, I looked at the current church directory, and by my count, only 30 people remain who were with us here when Stacy and I began. So many have died. So many have moved away. I see their faces still in this room. I'm so grateful for so many of them, the saints who gave their and shined their light here, and for now are gone, but whose light for some of us still shines. Mostly today, I am missing Stacy, of course, as I do every day. Just as many of you still mourn for her. We were your pastors for 22 years because First Baptist Church of Ann Arbor was willing to call a married couple as co-pastors. And you have been supportive. You have even celebrated our ministry together all that time and even still. Partnering with her was my joy. And when she became so sick for so long, you stood by both of us so steadfastly, astonishingly in your kindness and love. And in the way since the nearly 16 months ago that she died, your prayerful, loving care for me and Charlie and Rob have been my strength. Haven't we all been through some hard times together? And the hard times were the holy times. And now we've arrived at another hard and holy time. And what in the world is a pastor supposed to say? Well, I'm going with a story. And yeah, I've told it before. When Fred Craddock, yes, him again, was a little boy in Appalachia on one summer night, he and his father were out in the backyard. Little Fred was lying on his back looking up at the stars. And his father said, "Son, how far can you think?" "Well, I don't know. What do you mean?" "Just think as far as you can up toward the stars." Fred screwed down his imagination and said, I'm thinking as far as I can think." His father said, "Well, in your head, drive a stake down right there. Have you driven down the stake? That's how far you can think." The boy said, "Yes, sir." His father said, "Now, what's on the other side of that stake?" The boy said, "More sky." The father said, "Move your stake." And Fred said that they spent the rest of the evening looking up at the stars to see what they could further and further and further beyond. There are times in every life, times in the life of most churches, when the boundaries of our thinking will move to a further place or deeper place. That's what education is for. Good teachers are always saying in their way to their students, "Move your stake." It's what churches seek to do with the children and the teens, and in fact, with everybody here, encouraging spiritually, relationally, self-understanding, understanding of the world. Keep moving your stake. But that kind of thing doesn't always need an external prompt. At any time, a stirring suspicion can come that there is more for us to understand now and to do now, the sense that it is time and past time for taller dreams, a deeper spirit, a larger scope of concerns. And in fact, this is the never-ending project of our lives. We are here to move further towards maturity, to grow in the character, generosity, compassion, devotion, and discernment, and the integrity of more authentic living. So imagine that you're doing something now a little bit like looking up at the night sky and seeing how far you might be able to think, to believe, to trust, to love. What's on the other side of that? Move your stake. I'm so pleased that on my very last Sunday here, there it is. You know, I do it for you. The Apostle Paul put all of this into a prayer. I pray that God may grant you to be strengthened in your inner being, that you may have the power to comprehend what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses all knowledge, and that you be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, that is about the tallest prayer I ever heard. To comprehend the breadth, length, height, and depth, and be filled with all the fullness of God? Why such a towering prayer for us? Because we are here for nothing less. What's the gospel for? Is it for the forgiveness of our sins, the healing of our wounds, the heart to show more love in the world? Yes and yes and yes. But this is the barest beginning. The meaning of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus isn't bound to the pale and sickly issue of our guilt, or of our woundedness, or even of our need to be more loving. It is instead for the towering issue of our high and holy purpose in this world, serving the needs and desires and the longings and commands of the God of all love. Grow into the depth and length and height and depth, and to live these enormities in our life together as we are led and empowered to do. It goes against the grain of our culture, which thrives on shallow perceptions and pursuits and values, shallow times, shallow commitments, shallow people. We marvel at how different people all are from each other without noticing how alike we are in being pretty much lacking in depth. And if we do aspire to be otherwise, to live by higher, deeper commitments of spirit and action, it's hard to keep that vision with all these losses piling up and the world breaking our hearts. But Christ still comes in tenderness to call us toward his greatness. And the Spirit is able to refresh us for it and infuse us with fresh energies and vision for it. This great Ephesian prayer from Paul ends with this wondrous benediction, which includes these words: Now to the one who is able by the power at work among you to do far abundantly more than all we can think or imagine. So whatever happens to us, we make this vow: that we will return to tending the fire of our soul, seeking the Spirit's help and each other's help, and looking toward higher concerns, digging deeper down for the greater love and the power, by God's help, to let our living give expression, real and better expression, to divine love. A world under assault is waiting for greatness of soul, for commitments, for communities, for churches of spiritual stature, for people of moral depth, for young people and old people who will live more and more toward the long commitment of faith, justice, joy, reconciliation, peace. It happens in people like you. Already it's been at work in our long, happy, sorrowing, outreaching journey together. And was at work long before any of us arrived on the scene. But you, by faith and obedience to love's command, you have come this far. And now you will go further. And this is my prayer for you, that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, that you may be filled with the fullness of God, and that the love of Christ dwell within you and among you. May you grow further and deeper into God's concerns for humankind, love and faith, justice and mercy, resurrection and life. Let this be what you know, that your life is miraculous, and it is brief, and it is brilliant with possibility. A holy calling is laid on your life. Now let the size of it get hold of you and never stop stretching you in all faithful directions. May the massive love of Christ dwell in your hearts, and the current borders of your understanding be blown away. And it will be so through the one who, by the power at work among us, is able to do far more abundantly than all we can think or even imagine. Amen.